Welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. It's, what day is it, Dave?
Thursday.
God. Is it Thursday?
You didn't put up your throwback Thursday today, Brian?
No, I don't do that. That's Dave McMenamin. We have some sad news, and that sad news is that Tim McMahon, Band McMahon, has been banned from this show. He will not be on this week. We are all live in Los Angeles. The irony is, McMahon is here in Los Angeles.
He is. I spent some time with him last night.
We just banned him. Because Andrew Hahn, the producer, said he's banned for this week, and that's between him and Andrew. I can't speak to it. We're live here all together in Los Angeles, and Ramona Shelburne and Om Yong-Wasuk are going to be joining us. But they're late.
They are.
And you're early, which is unusual.
Really true.
So we're going to talk about the Lakers today. And the reason we're going to talk about the Lakers is because after we get done with this, we're not going to talk about the Lakers for a long time. Until they fire their coach and mm-hmm. everything happens. But we'll just say that we're not going to talk about the Lakers. Dave covers the Lakers for us. I was talking to you yesterday. You've covered some marathon seasons. You covered Lakers championship seasons, the last four Cavs seasons, which I have said, actually, I credit your last four Cavs seasons. I credit you with six seasons of service time. I might even go seven.
Yeah.
Because of what those years were like.
There's so much packed into it.
So you have experienced a lot. This Lakers season has been dramatic,
incomprehensible.
And you wrote a big piece last week that sort of went blow by blow. And even though I follow this every day for my job, I was like, oh man, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, that's right. That happened. This is just, it's been a disaster, man.
It has. And there are disaster seasons that happen every year, but it doesn't have the spotlight on it the
right.
way
like, you're right. That's a good
the Washington
point.
Wizards are having a disaster season.
Correct.
You know, their GM got fired. Their star player had a major injury.
What about Dwight Howard? We haven't even brought that one up.
and Dwight Howard. So, but it doesn't have the environment. And you know, this is I compare in my career. I had three super dramatic seasons: 14-15 Cavs, but they rallied to make the NBA Finals.
That was the year of they started off 19-20.
Right. LeBron takes a 2-week sabbatical in the middle right. of the season.
David Blatt almost calls it timeout he doesn't have.
they trade half the roster.
Right.
The 2012-2013 Lakers, which was, you know, Dr. Buss going into it was deathly ill.
Right.
And Mitch Kupchak and company tried to do whatever they could to field a contender. So Dwight Howard and Steve Nash come.
That's right.
And that was a disaster.
Considered like a major contender for the he's a super team defending champion yeah. Heat.
Mike Brown's fired five games into the season, right. et cetera, et cetera. This year though, it perhaps takes the cake because that 14-15 Cavs team rallied to make the finals. That Lakers right. team rallied to at least make the playoffs. And then, of course, Kobe suffered
Nash was
his injury.
Hurt the whole year.
Yeah.
And Dwight was hurt yeah. most of the year.
Most of the year. And then Kobe suffers the Achilles. But this Lakers right. team, based on those experiences I had, I just expect and just belief in LeBron that they'll find that groove.
Yeah.
And then they get into the postseason and then all bets are off. And they didn't find the groove. Playoff mode was activated and then quickly deactivated on a road trip through New Orleans with Anthony Davis not playing.
Oh my God.
And Memphis. And we include this in the story that, you know, they had a players only meeting and LeBron James was called out by his teammates. He needed to bring more to the table in terms of leadership. And to his credit, I mean, once he was directly called out, he tried to course correct that. But it was too late.
Right. We have Om joining us. Om, we already started. Sorry.
No problem.
Oh, he's got the Michigan State gear on.
You know, I have to represent.
Yeah, you know, in L.A., traffic is tough. Well, what can I say? Dave and I went to the Dodger game last night, Om. We went from downtown to Dodger Stadium.
That's not your first time at Dodger Stadium, right?
It was.
It was.
Oh, it's amazing, right?
It was enjoyable. Beautiful. And, Dave, how long did it take us to get
down? About 50 minutes
yeah.
from downtown.
And it's like, what, 2.5 miles maybe?
Yeah.
I think I just actually did something that nobody here would do. I actually was here at Staples probably about maybe like an hour and a half ago. Went home, came back.
Because you had to get his Michigan State.
I didn't realize you did
that. I had to go shower. And
okay.
We didn't need you to shower.
Well.
So we're talking about the Lakers, and you covered the Lakers a lot this year. So I kind of take a simplistic view of this. I'm going to take the Anthony Davis situation, and I'm going to isolate it to the side. because I don't know, and please disagree if you think I'm wrong. I don't know if the Anthony Davis situation really cost the Lakers the playoffs. I think what cost the Lakers the playoffs was a roster that was not well designed. It was experimental and it failed, combined with injuries. If they had stayed healthy, maybe they figure out a way to make the roster work. But the combination of those two things collapses on itself. And that's why their, whatever their record was when they decided to wave the white flag. They were like, what? They were about 500 when they waved the white flag. Mm-hmm. And now they've gone way under because they're losing on purpose, essentially, or not fielding a team that has a chance to win. The Anthony Davis thing is just what caused problems in the locker room and caused some drama within the organization. Again, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think that the Anthony Davis thing had a major effect on the overall record. Maybe for that week when they had a 42-point loss, maybe their guys got depressed. But if you think I'm wrong, please say so.
This is my thinking, Dave and Brian. I think that you're right about the roster construction. We all kind of saw it, especially a lot of people in the NBA were scratching their heads the minute this happened at Summer League. Everybody's just like, what are the Lakers thinking? And then there were injuries for sure. But at one point, the roster was starting to look like perhaps maybe they could do something, especially on Christmas Day in Golden State. Now, yes, there were injuries to LeBron and Rondo on that same day that kind of torpedoed the season a little bit. But I feel like the locker room and the Anthony Davis stuff was almost like the poison pill that just basically crushed this team. It was just like the thing that added everything on top. Perhaps they might have been able to overcome the roster if they'd gotten healthier, and maybe they would have had some hope. I just feel like the locker room issue was what really just kind of doomed this team. It really just kind of like basically was the thing that poisoned them for the rest of the year.
I mean, I don't discount what you're saying that was a factor, but I'm more on Brian's side here. Because if it's like, say it's a scientific test and you just do isolated variables to see how the host responds.
Look at this, Dave.
Well, if you just do
biology,
a failed trade attempt.
This is a scientific method.
The body would still live. And if you just do a roster that was poorly constructed, the body would still live. I think the injuries was the death knell for this team.
Right. You know, typically when you have a disaster, whether it's something in real life, like, you know, an airplane going down, or you have a team like this fail, it's the result of multiple things going wrong. And so that's what, and Ramona Shelburne is joining us.
What up, boys?
Hey.
Ramona, it was one of the things we were just talking about. I believe, and Dave and Olm, Dave's kind of on my side, Olm kind of disagrees. I believe the reason the Lakers are out of the playoffs is because they had a poorly constructed roster that also had injuries. And that's what happened. And that the Anthony Davis stuff made things worse and made things more dramatic, but I don't think it had a major effect on the bottom line of this team. Do you agree or disagree?
That's what you think? That's what Ohm thinks?
No, that's what Dave thinks.
You and Dave think that? Yeah. Ohm thinks?
I think the Anthony Davis thing was what sent the plane down. If you find the black box in the bottom of the ocean, and you hear the pilot calling for Mayday, I think the last thing that sent the plane down was the Anthony Davis rumors and the fracturing of the locker room.
So we talk a lot of times about confirmation bias, right? So whatever you believe to be true, you look for evidence that supports what you already believe and you disregard evidence that doesn't agree with it, right? And I think on the Anthony Davis trade discussions, if you were in the camp that believed, as you did, that it was a poorly constructed roster that was probably never going to work, and its only chance of working would have happened if they all could have stayed together and played together, then the Anthony Davis thing is just an outlier. It's sort of like you're in the Magic Johnson camp of, grow up, stop being a baby, right? If LeBron was out there, if Lonzo was there, Rondo was there, they would have just played through it and been okay.
Uh-huh.
If you believe that they would have... If they didn't get that the whole thing was flawed and that Anthony Davis and everything that happened with the front office just exacerbated existing tensions between players on the team and management and players on the team and LeBron, then that was the black box. I kind of think I'm more on the Ohm side.
This is good. This is a good discussion.
And in the room, it's funny. We are literally on the opposite side of the table. We have Ohm and Ramona on one side.
Let me just say this, okay? even with all the injuries, right? But when they came back from All-Star break, they had Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, LeBron, and so these other players, which I felt that group should have been better and good enough to beat these teams that they lost to.
So I just think that culture matters.
That's enough talent to win those games. Okay?
I think culture matters, and I think it especially matters when you have a team that has no history. If you would have had, and Dave, you made this point to me a little while ago, and I think this was the right one. If you would have had a few players who could have bridged the gap between LeBron and his teammates, the James Joneses of the world, the Damon Jones,
Richard
right?
Jefferson.
Richard Mike Jefferson, Miller, Mike whoever. Miller, yeah. Channing Frye. Like, if you would have had those, like, glue guy veterans who have previous experience playing with LeBron and can explain things to the younger players and be a bridge, that would have mattered a whole heck of a lot.
Doesn't that go to roster construction?
Yeah, that's roster construction.
I mean,
sure.
That's what Tyson was supposed to do.
That's it. And right? I think Tyson and I think Rondo did, but Tyson's body
broke down.
Yep. There it is. That's a nice way of saying it. Tyson tried so hard to get back. Tyson, for like 2 months there, was awesome and then just didn't have any more left and was just trying to get to the playoffs to give whatever he had left in his body, and they couldn't even make it to the playoffs. I think Rondo was trying to be that guy the whole time. I know they had multiple team meetings. They were always talking to the younger players, trying to distill it, but it's just harder when you're not out on the court and you're not, and also neither of those guys had we've played with LeBron experience and we've been in LA experience and we know how this goes. Like, you know, they did what they could, but at least in my view of the team, like, the only young player who really handled the trade rumors well was Kuzma. And it's because he's older, he's more experienced, he's being mentored by Kobe Bryant pretty explicitly. I talked to Kobe the other day at his little Mamba Academy thing. It's I don't know if you've ever been out there. Have you been to the Mamba Academy?
It's a little far for me.
For me, it's like right in my hood.
Is that where the Muse Cage is?
Yeah, I feel like I went into the Muse Cage, you guys. Okay. Like, there's like signs. It has like the Mamba insignia on the door. Yeah. And I'm like, what, am I going to walk in? And there's like little Mambas running around. Like, it's kind of fun. But it's like a real place. It's like this academy. Anyway, so he has an event out there. And we were talking, and I asked him about the comment. Remember the Spanish language radio interview that Kobe did where he said, come on, it's Anthony Davis. How can you get upset? You know, he actually just told Kuzma that. Like, it's not like he just went and said that
that's
in some Spanish language.
Magic said, too.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, grow up and act like a
boy. People are going to get traded every day in this league, basically. It was also
and it's nothing against you and whether they believe in you or not. It's just like, that's Anthony Davis. He's really good. And I think Kuz is probably the only one who could handle that and deal with it. Yeah, I think it affected the other guys a lot more. And then, okay, so that's their relationship and how they process things. But it's their relationship with the people who have to manage that now. So you have undercut Luke Walton and undermined him all year. The messaging is pretty obvious that he doesn't have the juice. So whatever he wants to tell the team and how to handle it and how to get through it, like, he might be gone too. Like, I think that's some of what he's told the teams. Like, we all have to get through this. I could be gone. You could be gone. We all, our time here is what it is. And I think if he doesn't have the juice and he's the one trying to get them through it, and they know he doesn't really have the organizational juice right now, then it's incumbent upon the front office to talk to the players and to manage that. And it's incumbent upon LeBron to go to those younger players and to manage
that.
Well,
Magic did, but it was after.
After. Too late.
I just go back to, like, David Griffin. I remember David Griffin, and Dave, you remember this because I'm sure you quoted him with this. David Griffin used to say, whenever anybody asked him about it, about trades, he would say, nobody on this team is untouchable. LeBron had a no-trade clause at the time. He doesn't now, but he did one then. So that was sort of non-starter. Mm-hmm. He'd always say it. He said it sort of matter-of-factly. It wasn't like ominous. He said, this is just the way we operate. Yeah. Nobody's untouchable. Everybody could possibly be traded. It was the same thing he would say in July as he would say in September as he would say in December. Well, and that's a message that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Jeannie has expressed anger at the media, and she feels like the media drove a wedge in and I'm going to put that aside, but my point is that she believes that the whole team wasn't offered for, or at least maybe I don't know what she believes. I think that is what she believes.
Well, so we don't know whether she believes that it's the semantics of the whole team wasn't offered, or if she doesn't believe that a super robust package was offered.
Okay, here's what I say. If Magic and Rob didn't offer the whole team,
what are they doing?
Then they were derelict.
Right.
But this is what every GM says, nobody on the team is untouchable, that usually they say that. But we've never Can you remember the last time you've seen in reports that basically everybody on the roster except for LeBron James was available?
All right, so I'll give you an example. I heard at one point that Rob Pelinka did try to talk to a couple of the players whose names were coming up in those trade conversations, and it was during, not after, and tried to say, like, don't believe everything you read, or, you know, just downplayed it, and, you know, keep doing what you're doing, we're still really high on you, et cetera. I don't know exactly what he said. This was the characterization of what that conversation was, and it didn't land well. Like, it didn't land with that player in any kind of meaningful way. Like, they didn't take that and feel like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to listen to the fake news media.
Well, because also, has he been checking in with these players? And I'm not saying he hasn't. I'm just saying, do we know if he's been checking in with these players throughout the entire season? Yeah. So, because all of a sudden, this guy shows up with a message to whisper in your ear. You're like, well, where have you been?
He
you
does know? Look like the type that does kind of chit-chats with his players.
I see him talk.
But I'd say, despite all of this, it still doesn't change the fact they don't have a guy who can hit a three.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the thing. And so, I honestly think that the Anthony Davis situation is incredibly intriguing.
Yeah,
because it's a high stress situation for an entire organization, and obviously it was put on by someone with very close ties to LeBron, and so that complicates matters dramatically. I still don't think that was why they couldn't.
Okay, but let's back up. You say it was put on by somebody with close ties to LeBron. That's LeBron's agent, right? Rich Paul?
And Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis had to decide that he wanted to get traded too.
All right, but we're missing something. Anthony Davis says to David McMenamin, what do you say? What's the quote again?
LeBron.
I'm sorry, LeBron says about Anthony Davis.
It'd be incredible. It'd be amazing.
He's not dumb. He knew exactly what that quote would do. That was gasoline, okay?
Trust me, when Dave told me about it, my eyes exploded up and
LeBron's not dumb. Like he, you know, later on he sort of covered it a little bit by saying like, hey, I would like to play with, name a few other great players, right?
Great player.
Yeah, it's a nice cover, but he knew exactly what he was doing. He had to. Come on, he's too smart. And I say that with all due respect. He's really smart. Now,
wouldn't you want to play with him
of course. He's Anthony Davis, the same thing Kobe said. But a couple of days later, Chris Haynes has a story on Yahoo about Anthony Davis and LeBron going to dinner. I mean, if you don't want that to be an agenda that you're furthering and you don't want that to stick to you, then one, you don't go to dinner with him, and two, you definitely don't let it come out.
But I would say that if you go back and look at the last few years, half of LeBron's teams have been traded midseason.
Sure.
And like, that's the thing.
There was one major deal every year sometimes two.
And in the first year, they turned over like half the roster, and last year they turned over half.
Yeah, they really did. Right. That's a good point.
Like, this is how LeBron rolls.
Right. You're either there's the Channing Frye deal second year, and there's the Kyle Korver deal third year.
Right, and even the one year they traded Anderson Varejao, who he had played more with than almost anybody in his career. At the end of the day, you're either helping LeBron win a championship by playing with him, or you are fodder to be traded. This is just the way he operates.
This is different, though, right? Because he has a core that he came to join that was built to be, this will be the core that will help you win a championship. Not like these world of rule players.
Theoretically.
These are supposed to be core guys like Kuzma, Lonzo, and Ingram that he's supposed to help develop up to win a championship, not role players.
Well, I think they were assets.
Yeah,
they could be
assets that would be alongside him.
Yes.
Or assets that could go elsewhere.
But he's dealing with younger guys that he's never had to deal with before. Those other guys are all veterans. Like, they've been a part of the business that they could deal with before. I'm not trying to make excuses for the young guys. I'm just saying that they're not like the Kyle Korvers and Channing Frye's and Anderson Varejao's who've been around for a long time and have been through multiple trade deadlines.
I do think there is some fallout here that it doesn't involve what's going on in the court. And that is, if you're a star player, or even if you're a mid-level player, if you're going to be recruited by the Lakers this summer, one of the things you're going to ask yourself is, if we get to December 15th, when the contract I'm about to sign with the Lakers is now tradable, am I going to be fodder for whoever LeBron wants to trade?
That's part of the territory, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that is a hurdle that the Lakers must overcome.
So, Brian, one of the things that I have found the most striking about this whole turn in LA is I'm getting the same kind of question of, like, did nobody want to play with LeBron the same way that everyone would ask that about Kobe? And I cannot even believe that question is asked, because historically LeBron is a player that people want to play with. He gets those players. People have career years next to LeBron. Mo Williams was an all-star. You know, Mario Chalmers. I mean, don't ask Mario that. I'm sure he would give you a different story.
Mario thought he was going to be the MVP.
Right? But LeBron's game is that he makes the players around him better. He is a facilitator. He elevates people. I mean, I love that Lee Jenkins story from a while ago about him at the park, and his job is to get the – you remember which one I'm talking about? It was a
– It's not ringing a bell.
Yeah, okay. When he went to Cleveland, yeah. It was about elevating
okay.
Kevin Love.
Okay,
and
sure.
That is kind of part of the LeBron –
Couldn't convince Kevin of that every day, but some days
that's part of the LeBron mystique is that LeBron is a – he's got a point guard mentality. He wants to make people better.
He also gets people paid,
and
they
he gets
win.
Yeah.
At a level they've never won before if right. he stays healthy. So we go back right. to staying healthy, though. When you were talking about the other stories that came out, you know, you wrote the story talking to Anthony Davis's dad about him not wanting to go to Boston. Why does he want to go to Boston? Because the cutthroat business that Danny Ainge runs where guys could be sent out the door, like mm-hmm. Isaiah Thomas. Well, so, like, Brian, you putting the cautionary warning stamp on if you come to the Lakers this offseason, you could be traded December 15th. Guess what? You go to any team that's competing
that's
for
true.
A championship. That's part of the protocol.
But I think the difference is after the way the Anthony Davis thing went, again, this may not be fair to LeBron, but the perception is that if you fall out of favor with him, you can be shipped out. But you could argue that's always been the case. I just think that there's always been this grand bargain with LeBron.
Yeah.
That the upsides always outweigh the downsides. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, like if we had Matthew Dellavedova here, we had Channing Frye here,
right.
we had Mario Chalmers, we had Shane Battier. I mean, we could go on and on. Kevin Love, some coaches. Excuse me. You could talk about Mike Brown. I think Mike Brown didn't benefit from being LeBron, even if it was a headache.
Mm-hmm.
Still getting paid on like three different contracts.
I know. Like
you
the
think
bargain,
you could afford a $15 candle?
the Warriors are staying in the same hotel I am.
Oh, do it! Come on.
I so badly wanted to text Mike and say, "What's your room number?"
Yeah.
But I figured I'd be the 100th person to make the trip.
Yeah.
So, but the bargain works when LeBron can deliver. And this year, the bargain was off.
Yeah.
But the reason he couldn't deliver was not because of the trade request. It was because
that's
of
my
an
point.
Injury.
That's okay. my point.
I agree and disagree. I think that that's true. He was hurt. He also did not embrace Los Angeles and embrace the younger teammates in ways that he has before. Everywhere else LeBron came, he had friends there or he had history. In Miami, he went there with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, who were some of his best friends. In L.A., he showed up like, hey, King James is here. Hey, you know, and like didn't even have a press conference or a parade. In fact, like the one thing that he did at the Blaze Pizza with like the, hey, I might show up, and then he didn't show up. I know that sounded like a small thing, but like when you look back on the season, that was not a good move.
Miller,
like there was all these fans that like showed up at the Blaze Pizza in Culver City, like thinking LeBron was going to be there, and it was kind of mean when he didn't. And people wasted their afternoon showing up. Now,
right.
I'm not saying that that couldn't have been forgiven if they would have started winning or if he would have just acknowledged it or whatever, but you don't do that. You don't have, he did show up in Vegas wearing the Laker shorts. Those were cool. But like, I didn't hear stories of LeBron bonding with the younger guys, which is understandable because he's 34 and they're 21. But there just wasn't that bridge and there wasn't a bond there. So when you already feel like this guy just came, these guys had all been the face, the you know, future face of the franchise, Lonzo. And
none of them have benefited from LeBron. None of them
right.
got to see the finals.
The good part.
Right.
I mean, Ramona,
yeah.
you remember, you wrote the story. After game one of the finals, LeBron's first year
mm-hmm.
in Cleveland,
yep.
back in Cleveland. Kevin Love was hurt, out for the year,
yeah.
shoulder injury. The Cavs lose that game yeah. in overtime. They're devastated.
Yeah.
Kevin Love is sitting in his locker in Golden State, wide-eyed,
yeah,
going, this is the most amazing thing. Well, you told the story. Tell
yeah.
the story.
Kevin Love, who really had a disappointing year, right?
And had been shamed by LeBron yeah. on Twitter and yep. undercut and passive-aggressive and
yeah.
everything like that.
All of the above. Had every reason to want to just get out of there. And now he's sitting there with his shoulder and can't even play, said, I have never had the experience of being in the finals like this. I want to have this atmosphere every year, and I'll do whatever I have to
right.
do
to
stay.
So,
back, yeah.
so Lonzo and Brandon Ingram and
yeah.
Josh Hart and
Kuzma
didn't get that this
no.
year.
No.
They didn't get the other half of the bargain.
All they got was a really crowded locker room, a lot
right.
more reporters.
a lot more scrutiny.
A lot more scrutiny. And not better stats, right? Like, and you know, we did this once when we had a pot. Are you better off now than you were a year ago?
And not having Brandon Ingram isn't getting a max contract because he was awesome Love got a max contract.
Well, okay, let's just quick on the Ingram thing because I think Ramone said earlier that no one really handled the trade stuff other than Kuzma well. Ingram played the best basketball of his career.
Before the trade, maybe a week before, he scored his career high
before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
39 points. Yeah. So I push back on that a little bit. I think though, your point about the type of players they brought in, or make sure you have some sort of connective tissue type of player on the roster. They missed it. The only guys I'd submit to you that LeBron has any sort of relationship with are Kuzma, Rondo, and KCP.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's mostly strangers wearing the same uniform.
And Rondo and KCP might not be back.
Now, I would say, though, that Lonzo, there's something there.
Yeah, like, no,
there's,
it's starting.
There's a reverence. Yeah. And LeBron, I've seen it in small patches.
LeBron has been very effusive praise of Lonzo. Yeah.
And you know what I've heard is ever since this happened with Lonzo and him firing Allen Foster and the destruction or whatever is going to be left of the big baller brand, I have heard that LeBron has really reached out to Lonzo and they've gotten much closer throughout this. He's really kind of tried to help him through this.
So the problem here is that so say this was 2014 and LeBron's 30. Okay, let's take a couple of years to get this to where we need to be. Just because he's about to turn 35 in December, there's no patience.
Yeah.
And so I think this could have worked.
Yeah.
You know, if you continue to keep it, hold on to the rope and see what happens.
Yeah.
They just can't do that.
So now what do you do? I mean, I don't really want to talk about the Luke Walton thing. That's been either they're going to fire him or they're not. Ramona, do you think they're going to fire him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. But I hate to say it in such a definitive term because it is so, like, the way this season has gone, like, it wouldn't shock me if they zagged
right.
when we all think another thing, because there is such a reaction to the public narrative that is, you know, that has happened all season long that, like, nothing would really shock me. But I do think that's where we end up. And I think that, it reminded me, like, this is an LA reference, but it reminded me a little of the Dodgers a couple years ago when Don Mattingly was here and they had new ownership taken over. And he didn't do anything wrong. They got to the playoffs and it just was clear he wasn't their guy. And eventually Don got tired of being in that position. So if Luke Walton is back next year, he needs to get a contract extension. He needs to know that things are going to be done differently, because this idea of him coaching without real authority or the sense of what he's going to tell the players is actually what's happening, that can't last, and that's not going to be effective.
Andrew Hahn, can I get a reference rankings from you? NCAA basketball or Major League Baseball? Which is more allowed on this podcast?
Neither.
Come on.
I mean, it is LA.
Dave and I went to the Dodger game last night, my first Dodger game.
We did.
Is that amazing?
It was very enjoyable.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So to me, any coach who comes in for an interview, he's got to be interviewing Magic and Rob Pelinka more than they're getting interviewed themselves. Because I got to say, what are you doing? What are you going to do to fix this? And, you know, we've talked about the free agents all year long. Even if they land, let's just say for the sake of argument, they land Jimmy Butler. That'd be a great step forward for them. But that doesn't mean everything's fixed.
Do you really think that Jimmy and LeBron is going to work? Do you think that Jimmy is going to give LeBron that type of respect it's going to work?
I think that would work.
Or do you think that eventually Jimmy is going to get frustrated with everything and then it's just going to be a disaster?
I think that Jimmy would, if there's one player in the league he would respect, it would be LeBron. But also, he's the problem for Jimmy is that he's been in positions where he wants to be the best player on the team, and he could be, but the money has gone to the younger players, and in Philly at least the younger players are better than him. Embiid and Simmons are better, and that's hard for a veteran, especially who wants to lead, if you're not the best player and you're not being paid like the best player. Especially
he was frustrated in Minnesota that Towns and Wiggins got paid. He didn't think
he didn't respect Towns and Wiggins.
Yeah, but he would respect LeBron. Right.
So I think the challenge is this. I think the Lakers are plan B or C for all the top free agents.
Sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
If
and when you mean B, you're talking about the Jimmy Butlers, the DeMarcus Cousins, the Kemba Middletons, Walkers, Kemba the Middletons.
Like if Charlotte doesn't offer Kemba Walker the full max, then I think he looks at the Lakers. If Philly doesn't offer Jimmy the full max, or at least a contract he's happy with, then I think
Golden State and Clay.
Doesn't this feel like I really, guys, I don't think Clay even gives the Lakers a meeting.
If they don't give him a full max?
Oh, if he doesn't get a full max, I think he goes someplace. I don't even think Clay gives the Lakers a meeting.
Okay. Like I said, I don't think they're getting him.
No.
So, like, to me, this is what I'm asking. Like, if I'm, I won't even say, I'm Coach X. I am invited for an interview by the Lakers. All right, you can talk about what your plans are for the free agents. Now what? If we miss, now what?
Okay, so Brian.
They got to have an answer to that question.
Well, I think Coach X matters. Because is Coach X an established championship-level coach who has won elsewhere? Or is Coach X an assistant getting his first crack at it that has a good rapport with Magic and Rob? Because
I don't think you can go that way, personally.
If you go that way, it feels like you're lowering the expectations.
Or you're discovering the next big thing. I mean, you might be, but that the Coach X, if it's a lower level person, okay. So let's say Darvin Ham, okay, Juwan Howard, those are assistant coaches' names that you've heard. If it's one of those guys, do they have the leverage then to go to Magic and Rob and start demanding things?
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an established coach, somebody who's coached before, won before. Do they have the leverage to do that? Maybe.
I just think the difficulty here is you're going to be coaching a potentially fading star. It's one of the hardest things to do in sports. And he's not only that, he is difficult to gain respect for.
Oh, and he's also in a city that he doesn't have a lot of equity in. It was hard enough doing that with Kobe.
He might have neg of equity right now.
It was hard enough for Byron Scott to manage Kobe. I mean, Byron Scott's job was to basically coach the last 2 years of Kobe's career because you know him and you can handle this. But that was going to be a thankless, difficult job for anyone other than somebody who had history with him. Which is why I keep coming back to the idea that Ty Lue seems like the right person because he has the experience. They've been through wars together. They have a level of trust. He knows LeBron. He would know the best of how to manage him.
He holds LeBron accountable.
Yeah, he holds him accountable.
But he can't create the roster. Like Ty can't create a system and a roster that is going to be successful unless he has the ammunition to do it.
Well, he can recreate it. I mean, we haven't mentioned Kyrie Irving's name.
No, and I think that's a good name to bring up.
He wouldn't be a B-level guy. Be an A-level.
I can't imagine in any world where LeBron and Kyrie go play together after the way they broke up, right? But I also never thought I would see Shaq and Kobe in the same room, hugging each other and pretending it was all marketing.
Kyrie is absolutely the ideal player to play with LeBron. Which is why they were so good together. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy who can create to take pressure off LeBron when LeBron wants it, a guy who can shoot, who can create his own shot but also be a set shooter. It's probably the most perfectly matched teammate LeBron's ever had, maybe with the exception of Chris Bosh.
Dwayne Wade.
No, Dwayne Wade worked with LeBron. Dwayne had to really sacrifice his game. Dwayne can't shoot, so, you know, it's not.
He can shoot, but not like that.
Okay. They work together because they're awesome.
Yeah.
And they learn to, like, cut off the ball and stuff. But as far as, like, a talent set,
okay.
Kyrie is maybe Chris Bosh again because Bosh, pick and roll partner, stretch the floor, great defender. But what Kyrie actually wants doesn't match with what LeBron wants. Kyrie would have to really suppress his feelings and his desires.
Let's say the Celtics lose in the second round.
Possible.
He gets the blame for it. He wants nothing to do with Boston going forward. Where can you go? You have a choice. Do you want to go to the Lakers? Do you want to go to the Clippers? Do you want to go to the Knicks with Kevin Durant?
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn already has two point guards.
It's a lot of options than having to go
but
back
what
and play
story,
with a guy you couldn't stand.
What story do you like best? What story takes away
I know
all
the
negatives?
Well, I know the story we'd like to tell.
Oh, bring it.
But
I'm all for the big circus.
But I mean, perhaps LeBron's warts look better. I mean, based on what he said now, 2 years later, LeBron's warts look a lot better than he thought.
I have no doubt that if they played together again, it would benefit both of them greatly.
It's funny.
I'm
doing this podcast on the Donald Sterling story, Donald and Shelley, and they just keep getting back together. They just keep getting back together
after
everything. Which
is absolutely amazing. But, I mean, they have been together for 40 years, right? 50 years?
65 years. Maybe. But, I mean, like, these things happen. And, like, you know, you have – sometimes it's better to – you might have a bad marriage, but at least you know the person.
What, Billy Martin and the Yankees, right? Another baseball reference.
What's the line? It's like, why would I get myself a new husband? I'd just have to train a new one.
Sure.
You know?
I can't see. I think, if anything, Kyrie's gotten more headstrong and emboldened. I think he may – have admitted that he didn't handle it well, but I do not think he's gotten contrite. I don't see it. Let's ask for pure speculation. Gut feel, what have you. 1 year from today, last week of the regular season, 2020, who is LeBron's sidekick? Who is LeBron's guy playing with the Lakers as they hopefully go into the playoffs?
I'll start. I think the second best player on the team will be Brandon Ingram.
Let's specify this is pure speculation.
Yeah, pure speculation.
Right. So, I was buying myself some time by saying a player is already on the Lakers. I do believe Jimmy Butler, that makes a lot of sense. From the Lakers' perspective, where they get a player can actually help, they can hold on to the rest of their young core, and beyond that, Philly... I truly believe that the Tobias thing was edging against the inevitability of them not wanting to pay Jimmy the max anyway. So I see it like they pay a premium to Jimmy, perhaps over the market, to get him. That keeps him happy to some extent because he's getting paid the way he wants to be. He's in Los Angeles. And you have a young core that gets to grow through a year and hopefully
possibly
remain healthy.
Possibly some trades could be made to retrofit around.
That could also happen as well. But, you know, and I look at them as, like, you know, vying for a top four seed and see what happens in the playoffs.
I agree. I think Jimmy Butler, I'd like to see the Lakers, if they're going to do it, somehow give him a ton of money on a 2 or 3 year deal.
It's not getting done, right? I think, but what they'd like to do.
Yes, and then I think they go and get somebody else. Like, it could be DeMarcus Cousins or somebody like that. Where
I think they need to be educated about their cap space. But
yeah,
okay. I am going to go for door number 3. I'm going to say that they don't get anyone in free agency.
Nobody.
I'm going to say they get no one, and they are forced to make a big trade, and I will just recklessly speculate that they will target Mike Conley, who they'll have to move, but would fit.
And so that could happen.
That's all reckless speculation.
Dame Lillard.
Lillard. But
Dame,
I don't think
Portland extend this summer.
That's a name that's been out there, but I can't see Portland ever letting that happen.
How about Beal?
Without knowing who their general manager, who's going to replace Ernie,
I don't think they have the ammunition to make the trade.
Unless, Conley's going to go into the last year of his contract now, right? He's got one more year. Memphis is still part of a rebuild. He's a guy who could move.
When the Lakers jump to number 2 in the draft,
there it is.
Why not number 1? How about Knicks Lakers 1-2? Now, like, get all the conspiracy theorists out there.
Well, the two worst teams in the league last 6 years, they would deserve it. I'm going to go with what Dave said. I believe the second best player in the Lakers next year will be Brandon Ingram. I don't think they're going to be able to trade him because of the blood clot issue. He's going to have to prove he can stay healthy for a year.
Although, let's say this about Brandon. I don't think the blood clot issue is a serious issue, even though that is a serious condition. Everything I've heard on the Lakers side is that it's not something that they are worried about or he's worried about.
I believe that as well, but I think the fear of the unknown would cause him to be
especially
a tough
after
one
what
to
happened
trade.
With Bosch.
I think the Lakers feel that way maybe, but I don't know if other teams feel that way, and therefore I don't think they could get good value for him. And I also think that Brandon won't extend his contract this summer because they'll be concerned about it and they'll have to be allied. And I think he'll have maximum motivation to play well into next season. I do not think the Lakers will land a major free agent. I think they will have to stopgap, and I think they will go after guys who fit more with LeBron. A name I'm going to keep saying is Seth Curry. I see Seth Curry playing alongside LeBron. You know, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. The Lakers are going to have cap space. I can just see LeBron whipping the ball to Seth Curry and him shooting 43% from three-point range and him averaging 14 points a game and being a great player.
I'm sorry, did you say Seth Curry or Steph? No. Okay.
Steph did say today that he sees LeBron and the Lakers resetting and regrouping.
Was Seth also born in Akron?
I don't believe so. No, okay. I think they had already moved by that.
Does Seth also need contacts?
Maybe.
Because, wow, that would be something.
Yeah.
right?
Seth needs a wedding planning. I've got to go be on television. I'd like to go longer. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective. Thanks, guys, for coming in. And I will see you at this very exciting Lakers-Warriors game tonight.